All right, here we are. Another edition of Live on KEXP at Home. So excited for this. My name is Troy Nelson, and talk about memorable band names. Here we are with Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. We'll get to that later. But you were so gracious to perform for KEXP, and I want to say thank you so much for your time. How are you doing today?
Good. No, thank you so much for having us on. It's our little mini dream to be back in Seattle. So. Yeah.
I know. Yes, I wish we could be in person.
Yeah. I know. It'd be mad, but here we are. I think we're probably the furthest people apart from each other as well.
Yeah.
It's very true. What time is it in Australia right now?
Well, the Kookaburras are up.
So it's, on the West Coast, where we are at 6:30 a.m. Oh,
wow. So it's early.
It's been early a while now, yeah.
Been up for an hour, though, so I'm doing
awesome.
All
right. Well, I'm excited to share your performance that you recorded for Live on KEXP at Home, and then we'll have a chat. So here you go, world. This is Psychedelic Porn Crumpets.
I'm done. problem with our fluid conversation. Unmattered and sycamore, furthermore, I establish ground for what we see.
Oh,
Fantastic. That is Psychedelic Porn Crumpets live on KEXP at Home. What a fantastic performance. And once again, thank you so much for doing this. And you're talking about it's super early in the morning in Australia. What is going on in Australia? This is like, I know that there's a rich music history, but lately, like as in lately, the last 12 years, it's been absolutely out of control. I feel like all my new favorite bands are from Australia. It just doesn't stop. Is there just some kind of music revolution going on over there? Or is it, it just doesn't stop. It's like, there's this band. Yeah. What's going on over there?
I think we're like 20 years behind. So we've just got up to date with the 90s. Yeah. So we're just like, man, grunge happened?
It's like the British invasion. It's the Australian invasion going on right now.
Yeah, it is.
We've only just got Wi-Fi, so we're just stumbling across like Soundgarden, like Nirvana. We're like, man, that was just Michael Kurt. Like,
you can download all the tracks on this thing called LimeWire as well. It's crazy.
LimeWire is revolutionary. Yeah. We've invested everything into MySpace as well. So
And by the way, if you want to hear Psychedelic Porn Crumpets music, it's on Napster.
It's on Napster. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
It is, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, us and Lars, we're fighting that good cause.
We're punching up.
Punching up. So I'm a huge fan of the history of Australian music. I'm a huge fan of this punk band called The Saints. Are you familiar with The Saints?
Yeah, they are a good band.
Yeah.
They're punk rock, though. Total punk rock.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, Saints. Of course, when people think of Australia, they think of AC/DC, but I think of the Saints. I love, there's some great AC/DC stuff, of course, but I think of the Saints. But also, let's get a little more current. What can you tell the listeners about the Smith Street Band?
The Smith Street Band? They've been playing around. How long? I think when they first started, their vocals were like really unique in the way that old... I call him Billy Wagner, but what is he? Will Wagner,
yeah.
But Billy Wagner sounds better.
Billy Wagner. Yeah. His mates call him that anyway.
Yeah. And I think when he started singing, it was like quite colloquial Australian. Mm-hmm. Like
Australiana.
He kind of invented this style. Now you have a plethora of bands sort of doing that, like not being scared to sort of hide your voice. And it came out, I suppose it was like maybe when the pop punk scene of like America came out and you had like Blink-182 or whatever and Sum 41, all those sort of like almost before new metal or the pop punk thing where it was like such a heavy, strong American voice, which wasn't hidden. It was like, I'm not trying to be Bowie or like Mick Jagger or whatever. It was like, here's our voice.
Gritty.
Yeah, it was gritty. And I think that's what happened in Australia as well. But it also happened simultaneously with the hip hop scene and we've had some horrible music come out.
We can't talk about Aussie hip hop.
Aussie hip hop.
Can't let that one slide. That's
it's massive. It's so bad though. No, some is great. Some I don't know. I don't like it, but I'm sure someone does.
Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. I know that Jack, you really started this thing, but you have a full band, right? Are there Are you two just kind of the main members, or are there people missing right now, or what is the situation with the band?
We have them in cryo chambers. Rich doesn't want to wake up until he's back on tour, so he's just, yeah, he's
I was going to say, where's the blonde dude that he worked at a place called the Cat Food Warehouse? Was that, who was that?
Yeah, he does. He's there. He's next to Walt Disney. He's a little bit, he's just chilly at the moment, but yeah.
He's we've gone about 8 hours south. He's gone about 8 hours north. So we're about 16 hours difference at the moment.
So Jack, I'm directing this one at you. I saw that you recently ish went through a interesting phase of Nine Inch Nails. What is it, the production? Is it just everything? What is it about Nine Inch Nails?
I think it was mainly production, because I remember getting on the plane and I bought some new headphones, and I remember being like, why doesn't my music sound good in this? Or why doesn't anything, like all the lo-fi stuff I was listening to, sound decent? I was trying to go through bands and like be like, what was made for these things? And then it kind of got me sort of really, just cranking onto the production scale. And obviously I started listening to heaps of Slipknot and like nu metal because of it. I was like, oh my God.
The production is amazing.
Sounds sick.
It does.
It's massive.
They nailed it.
And then as soon as I put on the Downward Spiral, I was like, oh my God.
Game over.
My life changed.
Mr. Self-Destruct alone, that opening, it's got to be one of the greatest openers of all time.
Yeah, and it's just this thing. He just sort of just ready for it to just fully evolve. And you're like, I remember being on a plane just like, I was like, I found music. It was so good.
It's a masterpiece.
He's the bar. Trent Reznor is the bar.
Mm. Yeah, and, he's such an audio nerd that he's so particular, and I just, you can hear it in his production and his music where every detail matters. And so it's kind of fun for being a listener where, you know, you're listening to something that somebody cared about massively deeply.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, because I know him and Atticus Rose, who are still recording together and producing together, like doing all the soundtracks. And I remember watching The Social Network and being
this
film is incredible, but not knowing they did the soundtrack. And sort of just, there's just little bits and pieces and nuances that he manages to create where it's not like a hook, but it will just be this kind of little
bass line or something.
Yeah, it'll be just a thing or a change or just one chord that doesn't usually go together or work, or maybe a pattern that your brain picks up, which you don't do in the first place, but it will just repeat back over to you. It's amazing how he's managed to capture music like that. So, I mean, yeah. He's amazing. I think everyone knows that, but we're only just getting onto him now.
We just done it.
20 years later.
He's created some of those albums that is going to forever be re-listenable. So even if you've heard Dark Side of the Moon 100 times, the thing is, the next time you really sit down and listen to it, it's still going to sound amazing. Same with the Downward Spiral. Same with, you know, old Stevie Wonder record. Like, it's always going to sound amazing. And he's created that. And I love that you recognize that as well. And, you know, obviously we've all been going through this pandemic. I know that things are slowly kind of, you know, getting looser, opening up a little bit, but it's still kind of questionable. We're all still unsure, right? But you did a lot for being you're still a pretty new band. You did a lot before the pandemic. Like, you made it to Seattle, you played in Japan, and what was that festival in Japan that you played?
Summer Sonic.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, right? I wanted to ask about, what is it called? What is Pokhari Sweat?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
That's the best.
The best vodka mixer in the world. That's what that is. Yeah.
It's meant to be hydrating, so you shouldn't mix it with alcohol.
No, it's so good. It was like, basically, they'd given us, for our rider, like six beers between six of us and four bottles of vodka. And we were just like, who do they think we are?
Only six beers, but then all the vodka in the world?
All
right.
All the vodka you can drink. It was like, here's a beer for after the show, and then get fucked.
Here's a beer for after the show, and you're going to be in jail for a year. All right.
Yeah. And they didn't give it, that was like, no mixes, but I'm sure we did, or maybe we're looking in the wrong place. But we had so many Pokhari Sweat.
It's because it's such an obscure taste. It's like, well, you got to see what it goes with.
It's like, kind of like, do you have Gatorade or Powerade? Or like,
it's really like viscous water, like salty water in a bottle.
It's kind of like an electrolyte, but in its own kind of plum flavor.
Lychee. I didn't think it had a flavor.
It tastes like
Pocari Sweat, basically.
Well, I was reading about it after I heard you talk about it. I looked it up and I see that it is available in Australia as well.
Yeah, but is it?
Did you not know about it before?
No. Not at all. But it was such a new flavor.
I think it's only available in like the international store. Like, you can't buy it at.
It wouldn't be like a petrol station or whatever. Yeah. Right. It was amazing. I remember we were the most hydrated drunks, like, ever. And it was – I remember being so viscerally aware of what was going on. But it was, like, one side was just like, Jack, you can do a marathon. Like, this is amazing. Like, and then one side was like, what is that band? But it was good. We watched Weezer side stage.
Yeah, the lineup for that was ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I have this friend. His name's Hari, and he is a comedian. He has this Weezer joke. And he was talking about how he went to go see Weezer, and he was like enjoying himself. And he's like, all right, Weezer. And he was looking around and noticed how young everybody was. And he looked around. He goes, I had a revelation. I realized that I'm the creepy old dude at the Weezer show. And then he goes, a few moments go by and everyone's chanting Beverly Hills and like chanting to the music. And he looks and he goes, then I had another revelation. Actually, Weezer is the creepy dude. Weezer show.
It's so cute. Weezer's the creepy old dude.
Yeah, they're the creepy old dude.
That's you put a blog there. Yeah.
That's cool. You know what? The Blue Album is amazing.
Yeah. It's multi-generational then.
Okay, last question. I know that you're fans of bands all the way from T-Rex to Temples to King Gizzard and Tame Impala, of course, but what bands do you love that people might be surprised by that don't all fall into that kind of genre?
I mean, I always throw Flying Lotus into that bracket, but you've probably got loads.
He's amazing.
Who was we listening to on the way up in the car? David Axelrod. Oh, what? Ruby was shared. It was sick. I was like, that guy, I did not actually listen to him before, which I feel shame for. But then when he played it, I was like, oh my God, that's that sample. And then was sick. But it was, that's almost more entertaining sometimes for a listen. If you like getting into them previously because some great engineer has listened to some beat that they've liked and you just hear a snippet and then you get to experience the full thing for the first time. Like, oh yeah, that's why. That's sick. Yeah.
That little like 2 second loop. You're just like, that's going to be a whole hip hop track.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Nuts. And that Snoop Dogg one. What was that one? I think it was the first one when he did with Dr. Dre.
California. Yeah. What is it? Oh, 2001.
Whatever Snoop Dogg's big hit was.
Like on Doggy Style?
No.
2001.
On Chronic Smoke Weed Every Day. Oh, blink, 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 blink. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's almost one of the most synonymous things with hip hop, that riff.
It's so good. That is so good. Talk about great production, right?
Yeah, exactly. Man, I love that documentary actually with Dre. What was that one?
Oh my God, it was called The Defiant Ones.
Has to be the greatest.
I gotta tell you, not only was that documentary amazing, but one of my favorite moments was when Dre was sitting out by the ocean and he was listening to Nirvana. And he was like, he was freaking, it was Stay Away, the song Stay. He's like, Stay Away.
Yeah.
And he took the headphone, he goes, he's like Nirvana. He's like, this makes me sweat. It's so good.
Yeah. I'd think that, music transcends all genres as well. I think that you get to a point where when you're young, you kind of only listen to one kind of thing, and then you get older and you're like, why? Like, you might as well experience it all. So it's nice that Nirvana can be listened to by everyone.
Well, Nirvana, and also he was jamming to Kraftwerk, too. So he just knows good music.
Yeah.
Good production stuff. That's what they really listen to, I think. It's just the production.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time for this. And obviously, believe me, you chose a great band name because if anyone reads that, they're never going to forget it. And there is something going on, though, with band names. Like, Okay, so in other words, when I got an email about, here's a new single from Psychedelic Porn Crumpets, but then I look at my email again, and it says, here's a new song from Sunshine Frisbee Laserbeam, and here's a one for, yeah, I'm just like, where are these coming from? And I know there's no real answer. I know that you haven't really given, like, and maybe that's what's great about it, is there is no clear reason.
What? There's been so many millions of bands before us, so all the one-letter bands are taken. Like, you can't be called anything with one letter now. The dictionary's done.
The three-word band name.
The double words were being used throughout, yeah, whatever. So
it's like might as well. Who, like, throwing caution to the wind. Who cares anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's a bad book. Judges buy it. So.
Well, I want to thank you once again. Fantastic performance. And we've had you in Seattle. And once things are safe again, which is, I hope, soon and seemingly so, we would love to have you back physically in Seattle in the KEXP live room.
I would love to be back.
Love to.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
All right.
Well, thanks for having us as well.
Absolutely. It was wonderful meeting both of you. And thank you so much for your time.
And
all
you,
right,
man.
Everybody. There you go. You. Psychedelic Porn Crumpets live on KEXP at home.